Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
We're eventually going to get to the 140th Psalm this morning. But first, go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 19. I believe is where this starts. 1 Samuel chapter 19, and we're going to go through there to the end of Samuel. We all remember David is the great king in Israel. But before David was a king, he was a fugitive in the wilderness. He was a national hero. He'd killed Goliath the giant. And then he'd gone out in battle against the Philistines, and he'd come home victorious from that battle. And King Saul had married off his daughter to him. So now he was a king's son-in-law. And the king's son, Jonathan, was his best friend. And the ladies, they thought David was good-looking, and they thought he was so well in his battle, they started singing a song that said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. King Saul got jealous. 1 Samuel chapter 19 in verse 1, he said that David would have to be killed. Saul took his own javelin and reared back and threw that at David. And David slipped out of the way, and that javelin stuck in the wall. And David ran home, and he told his wife what was up, and she let him escape outside of a window. And she knew the men would come looking for him, so she fixed his bed so that it looked like that he was in bed. And when Saul sent these fellows to go kill David, she more or less said, now you can't kill him right now, he's sick. You know, I bet Saul was so frustrated at these fellows. They came back and said, we can't get him right now, he's sick. Saul said, you bring him to me in the bed. And they went and brought that bed to Saul, and when he jerked those covers off, they knew that they'd been had. And David had made his escape. Now, David ran down to Ramah, and Samuel was there. And Saul sent some men after David. And they got down to Ramah, and as they got close, the Spirit of the Lord came on those men, and they began to prophesy. So Saul sent some other men. And as they got close, well, they did the same thing. They started prophesying. And so he sent a third group of men. And as they got down there close to where David was, well, they started prophesying. So Saul went down there himself. And when he got down there, he did the same thing. He started prophesying, and they almost made a joke out of it. Is Saul among the prophets? And David got away again. And David went and found Jonathan and said, Jonathan, what's going on here? We need to figure this out and help me. Can I return to the king's court? Jonathan said, I tell you, David, I'll find out and I'll give you a signal. Now, there's a big rock out here in the field, and at the right time, you go hide by that rock. And I'll go find out from Saul what he's thinking. My daddy, you know, I'll find out what he's thinking. And I'll go out there and I'll stand near that rock and I'll shoot my arrows. And I'll have a lad with me and I'll send him out there to catch those arrows. And I'll pretend I'm shooting at a target. And if those arrows fall between me and the lad, and I tell that lad, you come get those arrows, then you'll know it's all right for you to come back to the court. But if I shoot beyond that lad, and the arrows go past him, I'll say, run, you make haste, and go find those arrows. They're beyond thee. Then you'll know it's too dangerous for you to come back. And so David hid behind that rock. And Jonathan came out there with his arrows. And he drew and he shot those arrows far. And Jonathan said, make speed, haste, stay not. Well, anybody watching think he's talking to that lad, but David knew that he had to flee. And so he fled to Ahimelech, the priest. And he got down there, he was hungry. And he said, Ahimelech, I need something to eat. And Ahimelech gave him the showbread that the priests were supposed to eat. And he also gave him the sword of Goliath. Now David took that and he kept running. And he ran right down into the Philistine country. And they weren't too happy to see him because he'd killed their giant. And he'd been beating them in battles. And his life was in danger. And so David pretended like he had gone crazy. And the Philistines, they knew that that it was something about them. They didn't want to kill a man that had gone mad. And so David got escaped again. And he came back into Israel and came to the cave of Adullam. And it says in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2 that everyone that was distressed and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Now the Philistines went and attacked a little city called Keilah. And David came down to help them defend themselves. And he drove the Philistines away. And he was in that city, and Saul heard about it. And so Saul got his men to go trap David in the city of Keilah. When David heard about that, he slipped away again, and Saul chased him into the wilderness of Ziph, into a woods. And he had David surrounded. Had the men on one side and had the men on the other side, and all he had to do was close in on David. And he was just about ready to catch David. Word came to Saul, said, "Saul, the Philistines have attacked." And he couldn't complete his plan. He had to pull his army off and go back and fight the Philistines. And so David got away again. Now Saul came back for David. And this time he came to him in the wilderness of Engedi, among the rocks of the wild goats. And there was a cave there. And David had hidden in that cave. And Saul didn't know it. And Saul went into that cave. And while he was in there, David slipped up and cut off the skirt of his robe without Saul knowing. And Saul went on out of the cave and went on his way. When they got place where off it was safe, David came out of the cave and said, "Saul, did you forget something here? Here's the skirt of your robe. We could have killed you in that cave." And then he spoke a proverb. He said, "Wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee." And he was letting Saul know. So, "Saul, I'm not trying to harm you. You're chasing me for no good reason." And that kind of got to Saul. And so Saul left off chasing David for a while. And David went into the wilderness of Paran. And there was a rich man there named Nabal. And the Bible says about Nabal that he was courteous and evil in his doings. Now, Nabal had a wife, and the Bible says about her, she was of good understanding and of beautiful countenance. And her name was Abigail. Now, David needed some provisions. So he sent some men to Nabal, said, "Nabal, you need to help me out here. I need some provisions." And Nabal answered those men so roughly that when they came back and told David what Nabal said, it made him mad. And he got his men ready, and he was going to attack Nabal and take what he wanted. And Abigail heard about it, and she went out there and brought the provisions to David and said, "Now, David, don't you do that." Says, "Here, I'll do this. Here, take these things from me." And then she went back. And when Nabal found out what she'd done behind his back, it says his heart became as stone. And 10 days later, he was dead. And then David took Abigail to be his own wife. And through that, he probably got all of Nabal's riches. Now, Saul came after David again. And this time he came to the wilderness of Ziph looking for David. Night came on, so it was time to prepare the camp. And Saul went to rest in that camp, and he lay down, and he stuck his spear beside him and took his water bottle and hung it over there on the spear. And he had Abner, the captain of his army, to guard him that night. And Saul was laying there sleeping, and then Abner, well, he went to sleep on the job. And while they were both asleep, David slipped into the camp and went over there, and some of the men said, "Let's just kill him right now." And David said, "No, we're not going to do that to the Lord's anointed." But he did. He took his spear, and he took his water bottle, and he left out. And the next day, Saul got up, and David got over on the hillside and said, "Hey, Saul, look here what I've got. I've got your spear, and I've got your water bottle. Now, this is the second time, Saul, I could have killed you. But I'm not against you, Saul. You're just against me." And from that time on, Saul quit chasing after David. But it wasn't long after that that Saul was killed in battle against the Philistines. And David began to reign as king in Hebron. Now, I can tell you those stories real briefly. I left out a lot of the real good details. You'll have to read for yourself in 2 Samuel. Get your mom and dad to read it to you, maybe for bedtime stories or something. Those are wonderful stories about David at the time he was a fugitive. This was a very difficult time for David, filled with danger and stress and uncertainty. And as David faced this very difficult trial of his young life, David learned that he needed to rely on God in prayer. And one of those prayers are found in Psalm 140. And so now let's go to that psalm. And looking at it in this context, this psalm is called "To the Chief Musician, a prayer of David. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually they are gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah." He may have been talking there about Doeg. You see, when David fled from Samuel and went down to the priest and got the showbread and the sword, Doeg was there. And he saw it. And Doeg went back and told Saul. And what he did when he told Saul, he told one of the most wicked kind of lies that you could tell. Because everything he said in that lie was the truth. But he told it in such a way that it made it look like that Ahimelech the priest was in league with David against Saul. And Ahimelech didn't know anything about this. And so Saul called for Ahimelech, and he brought Ahimelech in and says, "Ahimelech, tell me what you did." And so when Ahimelech told him, it was exactly what Doeg had said, but it was for a very different reason. Ahimelech thought David was on a mission with Saul, one of Saul's chief confidants. Saul was mad, and he's told his men to kill Ahimelech, and they wouldn't do it. But Doeg said, "I will." And so he killed Ahimelech. And not only that, he killed 85 of the priests. And not only that, when he got through, he went to their homes and killed their wives and their children. Now, we've got folks today that act like there's not such a thing as evil. And we have enemies, and they'll say, "Oh, well, you can't say they're evil. They're just a different culture. They're just different, you know. They just have a different idea. They're not evil." Well, David knew evil when he saw it. And he says, "Deliver me from the evil man." Now, it says in verse 4, "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords, and they spread a net by the wayside and have set their gins for me. I used to have a little Boy Scout handbook, and it tell you how to make traps. How you could trap little rabbits and squirrels and birds, and I never was able to catch anything like that. But they had those little traps in there, and that's what these snares and these cords and these dens are. They were out there setting traps in the woods. They were hoping that somehow they could trap David like an animal. David says in verse 6, I said to the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. Selah. Yeah. Now, you all know I ride a bicycle. One of the things I do, I wear a helmet to cover my head, to protect me. And I've never been hit in the head. I've been hit in the side a time or two. But you get a helmet for your head. And that's what he's saying the Lord has done for him. Be like a helmet to cover him and protect him in the time of battle. And then where it says here, grant not the desires of the wicked, further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. He did not want the enemies to be triumphant over him. He didn't want evil to win and to prosper and to exalt himself. And so he includes that in his prayer. Now in verse 9. As for the head of those which compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into the deep pits, that they rise not again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. David is not praying for personal vengeance. If David had wanted personal vengeance, he could have found that. He could have found it in the cave. He could have found it at night while Saul was asleep. David was going to leave this into the hands of God. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 12. And these verses remind me of Romans 12, verses 17. Through 21, it may help explain really what these verses are saying here. When it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide for things honest in the sight of all men, as much as it, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. The very things it's talking about in that psalm. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And then this Psalm 140, it ends with great hope. Remember these verses when you're facing your trials of life. I know the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Now don't you love those stories? I just love those stories about David. And one of the great studies of the book of Psalms is to try to go through those Psalms and see how they fit into David's life. And with many of them, you can do that. Now, we've all got trials in our life. We all have challenges. I was thinking the other day, someone said, I just wish I could live a normal life. Well, no one really gets to live a normal life. Everyone's life is unique and it's got its own special challenges, and all of us are going to face difficult times in our life. And the Bible warns us that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And our Lord taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. And so in the midst of trials and tribulations, remember, it's always right to do what's right. It's always wrong to do what's wrong. It is never right to do what's wrong. It is never wrong to do what's right. And that's right. Because the Bible is right. And in the midst of these trials, let's also remember to read these verses again. The Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. The righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, and the upright shall dwell in thy presence. I hope you enjoyed these stories and this psalm and these lessons the way I do. And here's what I want us to do, is every one of us as individuals, let's resolve to live in such a way that when the upright are in the presence of the Lord, we'll be in that number. Let's live faithful to the Lord. Let's be baptized into Christ, become one of His, and live according to His Word, and go to our God in prayer with the confidence He'll hear us. Thank you, Earl, for letting us know about these last 2 years when we prayed for you. We need to keep praying for one another, and that's not over. We've got a lot of prayers of thanksgiving. Let's give as many prayers of thanksgiving as we give prayers of help in these things. And let's draw strength from these Old Testament stories about David and his men.